Welcome to Slightly Something Else, everyone. I'm Yahtzee Crozier. I'm joined, as ever, by Marty Sleaver.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, a topic I feel is more of a you topic. You probably have stronger opinions on it than me.
I do.
You're of the opinion that Nintendo needs to reveal a stroke the next Switch.
Yes. And this is stemming from a couple of things. It's stemming from the fact that we're almost at the 6-year anniversary of the original Switch, which was March 2017. So in March, we'll be at the 6-year anniversary, which is standard-ish time for Nintendo to release new hardware.
Yeah, it's generally the right sort of span for your average console generation.
Yeah. Things have sort of ebbed and flowed depending on, like, the PS2 had a longer tail. The Wii had a longer tail. Obviously, things like the recession and the pandemic can change things. But
I think the 360 had a pretty long shelf life.
It did, because it got a year jump on the other things. It was out in 2005, whereas the other ones were 2006.
But yeah, six years, that's definitely the point where a console develops its gray hairs. Just to give my perspective, I have gotten a sense that the Switch is lagging behind technologically of late. Mm-hmm. I mean, the new Pokemon is notorious for its sort of basic shittiness.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Arceus, I thought, looked very behind the times.
Yeah. And even the games that, like, you just reviewed two Switch exclusives. You reviewed Bayonetta 3 and...
Yeah, now that you mention it, I remember saying Bayonetta 3 looks like a PS3 game.
Yeah. And Sparks of Hope, while I think looks really good, there's notable performance issues with it takes a while every time you want to load a menu. Like, if you open up your menu, it takes a little bit. If you open up your map, it takes a little bit. Like, these are things that should be happening instantly, but aren't.
See, when Pokemon Arceus looked a bit shitty, I put it down to Pokemon not having to bother. Pokemon feeling like it didn't have to compete.
I think that is true, and I think that is true with Scarlet and Violet as well, which we see from Scarlet and Violet. They sold 10 million copies in 3 days. It's fastest selling Nintendo game ever. It's doubling the pace of God of War Ragnarok. So, like, Pokemon's going to be fine, but part of it is just there is no competition for Pokemon, so why try when you don't have to?
Imagine having twice as much God of War Ragnarok. Jesus Christ, you'd kill yourself.
I don't want to think about that. Don't make me think about that. I just can't. That game doesn't have an end. Let me just say, I keep playing it. I keep enjoying it. It just won't end. I have a feeling it doesn't have an ending.
But, you know, Nintendo has always almost been proud in the way it lagged behind the rest of the industry technologically. I mean, remember how the Wii was basically just two GameCubes glued together. Mm-hmm. And it was really struggling to compete with the PS3 and 360. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I remember whenever shit was ported to all three consoles, the Wii would usually have an entirely separate version that felt more like a PS2 port.
Yeah, which was always fun. There was like a Call of Duty game that felt that it was like made specifically for this, and it's a weird thing. You know, we don't really get those anymore, and we get some ports to Switch, but most of those ports are of, like, Doom 2016 and, you know, games that came out the better part of a decade ago that still run kind of
a little bit
rattly on the Switch.
Yeah, so Nintendo has always not let it bother them when they're a bit behind. And to their credit, when they're making first-party games that focus on the core elements rather than, like, having all the pretty pixels, it's not so great for third-party development.
And, yes.
If the Switch has done any major thing to improve upon past Nintendo console performance, it's been the embrace of third-party developers.
Yeah, specifically, I would say, in the indie department. I know firsthand from developers, and people have gone on the record and stuff, of how they get this massive bump when their game hits Switch. Mm-hmm. Like, indie games have come out on other platforms and then a little bit down the road released on Switch and found new life and gained a new audience and went from non-profitable to profitable. And, you know, we even see some of the most beloved indie games launching, like, exclusively on consoles on Switch, you know, coming to PC, but then, like, Hollow Knight coming out first on Switch, and Hades coming out first on Switch alongside PC.
And by all accounts, indies seem to do pretty well on Switch.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if you look at the digital sales charts, they're you know, the big ones are always near the top. And so
Yeah, everyone likes being able to play Hollow Knight on the toilet.
it's a great toilet game, let me tell you. It's right up there with Hell Pie as games that are just perfect little toilet games.
Was that on the Switch? Wouldn't
I don't think
surprise
it
me.
was. It feels like it should be though, because this I feel like any 3D character platformer should have to go to a Nintendo console. It should be
Pretty
legally
much.
obligated. Yeah.
So, I suppose, let's accept for now the central premise that there needs to be a new Switch.
Yes.
Is there any precedent for Nintendo doing like the other console manufacturer thing of just bringing out a console that's just the old console but a bit more?
Ish, yeah. They've especially, you know, in the handheld department, we had
Yeah, I was about
the
to say
Game
they
Boy
did that.
Advance, and then we had the
Yeah.
SP with the clamshell.
They did that with the DS for a while.
And we got the DS Lite, and then obviously the new 3DS, which was weird because it had a few exclusive games that you couldn't play on the regular 3DS, but
Yeah.
that was like very few. And yeah, the same thing, Phantom of the Night with DSi.
Still, it would feel very un-Nintendo to just bring out a Switch that's the same as the old Switch, but with more hardware capability to it.
Well, I mean, we've gotten, even in this generation, we've gotten a little bit. We got the Lite, which in 2019, which is just handheld, you know, cannot be docked and put in a TV. And then we got the Switch OLED, which came out last fall alongside Metroid Dread, which has a nicer screen and I think might have some fancier innards, but I don't. I
Right.
like that it's a little bit bigger because my hands are a little bit bigger, and I like just having a bigger thing in my hands. But other than that,
Yeah,
yeah.
I've always struggled with the Switch controllers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the most like comfortable ergonomic
Yeah,
device.
I've tried pro controllers, but for some reason they all got the galloping stick drift. So since then, what I've done is usually just relied on taking the, forgot what they call them on the Switch, the Wiimotes.
The
And
Joy-Con.
the Joy-Cons, thank you for the moment that slipped my mind. And I just like hold one in each hand without having anything to connect them
Oh,
because I've put.
I've never done that before. Like, I know that was like a big selling point of like, look, I got my hands free, but I've
Well,
never done that.
it's not for motion controls, so my hands aren't all bunched up together with a little tight controller thing. And my fingers like bent into claw spikes to press the shoulder buttons.
Yeah, it's especially funny when you like I don't have a pro controller. I have this plastic thing that you just hook the two Joy-Con up
Yeah,
to,
that's what it came
and
with. That's what
oh,
I
it
use.
is. It's
Yeah.
just tiny in my hands. But the main thing that like as of right now, like I can, you know, the stuff like Mario and Rabbids, the load times are annoying, and yes, Pokemon, you can chalk a lot of that up to Game Freak and the fact that they just have to have a game come out every year, and this year they had to have two games come out, and they don't care. It's like it's gonna sell anyways. My big thing is next year is in May, in theory, is Tears of the Kingdom, the follow-up to Breath of the Wild, which you know, that'll be out about 6 years. I mean, if it hits the May date, it'll be a little over 6 years since the original.
Am I
And that is
correct?
a game. Oh, go ahead.
Am I right in remembering that the Wii U had a version of Breath of the Wild?
It did, yeah. Breath of the Wild launched on Wii U and Switch simultaneously.
See,
A
that's
lot
in.
like how Twilight Princess launched on GameCube and Wii simultaneously
I
with
was
the
about
launch
to
of the
bring
Wii.
that up. That's an interesting pattern with Zelda games. They
Yeah, so.
tend to straddle the gap between consoles.
Yeah, Nintendo has had a, like you said, has had a history of doing that. So it wouldn't be surprising to see this, but like just looking at. I mean, they've shown very little of Tears of the Kingdom, but the fact that it's going to have sort of, you know, the no pun intended breath of Breath of the Wild, but with this, you know, added verticality. It's all about the skies and these floating islands and kingdoms and stuff. And I just like looking at my rickety old hardware, I'm like, how is a 6-year-old thing? How is this gonna like? How is this gonna do this? Like, what is this? Am I gonna like be standing on something that should be this gorgeous vista looking out over all of Hyrule, and then stuff just kind of gets like grainy and shitty
Yeah.
looking into the background?
Or just there's like a there's just fog so you can only see 10 feet, like in Turok 2.
Yeah, Yeah, which, like, one of the amazing things about Breath of the Wild was partly because of how Hyrule was designed, is you had these kind of built-in vistas where you'd get to the top of a tower and look, and because of the geography, you'd see like the crest of a mountain, and you'd see a tower off in the distance, and you'd see the floating of Hyrule Castle, and it was kind of designed to always catch your eye and to spark the like, you know, invitation for exploration. And
yeah, I always like that. I always like that approach over the splatter the map with icons approach, how you just get up on a high thing and just see the thing you wanted to go to.
Yeah, it feels like actual exploration. And like Elden Ring, you know, had, I think that's, it scratched a similar itch. It kind of had a similar design philosophy, which I would imagine, you know, FromSoft would admit to being inspired by Breath of the Wild for that game. And so, yeah, my worry is that this is a game that is, you know, by all accounts, one of the most anticipated games of next year. This is a follow-up to a definitive game of the last decade, and I just don't want this thing to be held back by the hardware limitations of Nintendo being like, well, this thing keeps selling. You know, the Switch is, I think, currently or by Christmas will be the third best-selling console or handheld of all time, after, you know, PS2 is at the top, and then the DS is in second.
You sound like concerned middle school teacher, and Nintendo is one of your pupils who you feel just isn't applying themselves.
That's the thing. So that's what I think. I feel like this new hardware is the equivalent of like, well, maybe they're bored by the homework. Maybe they need a book that's a little bit of a higher reading level. They need Elie Wiesel's Night. That's what they need to read. You can't be reading any of these little children's books.
Well, you can't stand in the way of progress. So I guess there's going to have to be a new thing sooner or later.
It would be sooner or later, but the idea is, like, you know, most consoles, you get new ones once the console starts slowing down. And the Switch just won't slow down. It just keeps selling really well. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's unlike the Wii U, which was pretty much just, it lost all of the sort of massive grandma fan base of the Wii. Yeah. It seems like the Switch recaptured not only Nintendo fans, but like, I have so many people I know just have the Switch as their second console. Like, I have either a PC or a main console for my big scary games, and then I have my Switch as a second thing. And then even like lapsed gamers.
It's an undeniably good console.
It feels
like the culmination of everything that's been learned over the years with Nintendo platforms in both the handhelds and the room scale ones. So you've got the lessons from the Wii U, and the 3DS all working together to make one super console, and it's hard to think how to improve upon it. And so that, I suppose my question is, since Nintendo inevitably would want to improve upon the hardware in some way, for better or worse, what would be the best way to direct their attention, do you think? How would you improve upon the Switch besides just making it more impressive for running the latest games?
So that's the thing, is Nintendo never just, like, whenever we get a new PlayStation or Xbox, you could just assume it's the last one, but more. And Nintendo doesn't really do that, you know, like the leap from Super Nintendo, Nintendo to Super Nintendo introduced a controller with the L&R buttons and extra face buttons. And then the N64 had the analog stick into 3D. And then the GameCube, for better or worse, was like, here's our proprietary little disc format.
Our tiny baby discs for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't, don't say tiny baby discs. One slip of the tongue and it's just going to be, an HR nightmare. And then obviously bringing in like the WaveBird controller into wireless controllers, and the Wii with Waggle, and the Wii U with, oh, we're gonna create a hybrid, and Switch acting on that hybrid. I don't think the next Switch would just be Switch but more, which is kind of what I want right now. Like, they really struck gold with me with the hybrid nature of the Switch, and I don't want them to do anything that means, you know, my entire library of Switch games is going to be cut off from whatever's next.
Well, like, sucks to be you.
The worst thing. That would be the worst thing. I don't want that to happen.
Because Nintendo always do this. They've got to innovate. They can't not be innovating. It's their whole spirit. So they'll come up with something like the Wii U thing, and then they'll force every single game to push it, like they always have, and it'll make everyone annoyed with them again.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, but they've been hit or miss with backwards compatibility. Like the Wii could play GameCube games, the Wii Wii games.
It's weird. They
some
sort
of the handhelds had it.
For a while, they were doing just last console, but no consoles before it backwards compatibility. So the Wii could run GameCube discs, the Wii U could run Wii discs, but not GameCube discs. The 3DS, the DS could run GBA cards. The 3DS could run old DS cards, but not GBA cards.
But didn't have the GBA slot. And so that's like, I understand you don't need a physical. Like, I'm imagining the next Switch will stay on SD cards. Although I don't know. Maybe. Well, you can't. Yeah, you can't put like a disc. No one's gonna be carrying around a disc inside their thing.
I'd be happy if they just put big chunky handles on the controllers.
That would be nice. They need like a switch for a big and tall switch.
Yeah, for the larger handed gentleman.
Yeah, for the sophisticated gentleman. Also, their online infrastructure is still laughably bad. Like it is insane to me that the Switch eShop chugs. Like it is like going into a store that is actively trying to get you to leave the store. Like if you go into a store and it's 5 minutes before closing and it's clear that all the employees just don't want you to be there, that's what it feels like every time I open up the eShop. Is I open it up and it has to load in between everything. I just can't. I know there's shit on sale and it just won't show me what's on sale. So Nintendo is, I feel like, leaving money on the table there. And also they it's clear they want to go all in on the Nintendo Online and sort of that's their version of Virtual Console, not buying things piecemeal, but rather, you know, subscribe to this thing and then you'll be able to have whatever Super Nintendo and Genesis and N64 games we deem worthy this month. But you know, that's something that can be expanded upon. People have thought that they would add Game Boy or Game Boy Advance games to that thing, given the portability nature of it. If you add stronger hardware, they could add GameCube emulation to it. They have a partnership with Sega. They've had Genesis games, maybe Saturn or Dreamcast even going forward. So I feel like Nintendo's almost this, like, the Switch could be the almost like your gaming history, like museum console, as well as new Nintendo games. But it is interesting now because I don't think we have the exact numbers, but
last I checked, Nintendo was still charging $2 to play Balloon Fight on the NES. I don't think even if they did have the means to create a sort of Nintendo museum console, they are gonna fuck it up by like dribbling out titles. I'd like
Nintendo
two per
has
year.
Never fucked it up before. Nintendo absolutely fucks it up. I laugh every time they announce the yearly or the monthly Switch games added, and like they still haven't added a bunch of classic Square games like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI and Mario RPG. But it'll be like, oh, here's your favorite game, Joe and Mac. And Mac are back. Enjoy playing them. And you're like, what Nintendo? What are we actually doing? It also is interesting because this will be, you know, their Steam Deck exists now, like a there is competition. I don't think it's a direct competitor, but like the Steam Deck, you know, if you like indie games, nothing is cheaper than filling up your Steam library during a Steam sale with indie games, and so many of those are playable on the Steam Deck, so that's something that
But there's still value in the curation that the Switch offers. That's always
that is
the Steam's
true.
Problem.
Yeah, and you're still, you know, you still have to see whether a game works or doesn't work on Steam Deck, which I know, depending on the games people like, that's either not a big problem or it's a pain in the ass every time you try to open something and it doesn't play super well with Steam Deck. How often do you sort of toggle between the hybrid nature of the Switch? Like, do you play on a TV? Like, when you're reviewing Bayonetta or Mario plus Rabbids, were you mostly playing on TV? Were you mostly playing in portable mode?
Well, interestingly, it varies. I mean, if I'm playing something like Bayonetta, then I'll use that is very sort of dexterity focused. I'd play it on the TV with the controllers in my hands. But if I'm playing Rabbids or something a bit that's a little sort of gentler in its mood, or when I was playing any of those fucking farming games from a while back, I'd usually just play it on the handheld and like watch something else on the TV.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like playing JRPGs so much on Switch. Like, I'm replaying Persona 5 Royal right now on Switch. Of course I am. I feel like talking about Persona 5 Royal on Switch is just like my dream stream. So thank you all for indulging me. But I like being able to play it like yesterday. I was playing through it while watching football in the background, and it felt and to do my Marvel snaps during long cutscenes.
Marvel snaps. There you go.
So maybe that's just my like undiagnosed ADD
All right, let's speculate.
Okay.
Well, how could we advance Switch hardware? Here's a thought that I just had. You got your screen, right? You got your two controllers either side that snap off.
Okay.
How about two more controllers, top and bottom, that also snap off?
Oh no.
And you could get four people around to play Mario Party, or you could put the two extraneous controllers on the floor and imagine you're playing a drum kit.
I think you just made a $1 billion idea. I think that's incredible. We just keep adding. It's like how I brought out the Sonic and Knuckles cart last week, how you can just keep adding stuff onto it. So we'll do that. Yeah. We'll just create like this horrible Frankenstein hybrid.
Yeah, just keep clipping more things on.
Yeah.
You clip on the additional like extra chunky handles for the larger handed gentleman.
Yeah.
Top and bottom as well. And then clip on your Knuckles cartridge so you can play Persona 5 as Knuckles.
Oh, now you're speaking my language. I feel like Nintendo could make money though by having, instead of just selling Joy-Con, be like, oh, here are the GameCube Joy-Con, and they don't just look like GameCube, they feel like a GameCube controller. And then they're like, here, when you rebuy the GameCube games we give you.
They've done that. They brought out a Pro Controller modeled on the GameCube controller.
Oh, for the Switch. How do I not own that? Is it like the WaveBird? Remember the WaveBird?
Question.
WaveBird was great. Sometimes I get so excited playing my Switch that I hyperventilate and then I pass out and hit my head. So that might have been one of those times where I missed that.
We don't want to know how you get overexcited and hyperventilate while playing Persona 5.
No. Well, what happens between me and my waifu is between me and my waifu.
All right,
moving on. And we are at a point in the Switch now where Nintendo has hit us with most of their major franchises. Like in that, you know, we got Breath of the Wild right at launch. We got Mario Odyssey right later that year. Mario Kart, which is still getting DLC, which is Mario Kart's going to end up being one of the best-selling games of all time.
Smash came out. We got Pokemon's up the butt. We had a Metroid. Yep.
Had a Metroid. One, yeah, we had Kirby, Pikmin, Luigi's Mansion, Fire Emblem, Xenoblade, WarioWare, Advance Wars got postponed because of the war in Ukraine, but maybe it'll come out someday.
Yeah, I guess we've gone through all the big hitter franchises. Did we have a Kid Icarus?
No, there have been rumors though that the do you remember the Kid Icarus 3DS game Uprising? That was like 2011 or so. There was rumors that that might be being ported, which would make sense because that was like Sakurai's baby, the Smash Brothers guy.
Well, honestly,
now that he's done with Smash, yeah. And we haven't gotten F-Zero and Star Fox, which seem like we've gone many generations before.
Well, Star Fox blotted its copybook a little bit with Star Fox Zero. And then,
at this point, there have been a lot more bad Star Fox games than good Star Fox games.
Yeah,
right?
Star Fox kind of lost its way. What was that one that was supposed to be like an action adventure Zelda style game that they made?
Star Fox Adventures. That was the Rare game that was originally called Dinosaur Planet.
What was the last good Star Fox game that was a Star Fox game?
I honestly think Star Fox 64 is the only good Star Fox game.
Yeah.
Which I know is probably sacrilegious, but. Came bundled with the Rumble Pack.
Well, there you go. We can't have a Switch 2 until they make a Star Fox for the Switch 1.
There you go. We can't get another one. And then, of course, we have Metroid Prime 4 was announced for next year, and people think still might be next year, but we've never seen anything but logo for that.
It's always coming up soon. Yeah, if that was seriously in the cards, we'd have seen more of it by now.
Yes. That's sort of the white whale, and there have been rumors of doing remasters of the original Metroid Prime trilogy, and they announced stuff for the first couple months of next year, like a new Fire Emblem game and a new Kirby remake of an old game. But it kind of feels to me like this is like sort of Tears of the Kingdom is going to be the swan song of the Switch and the entry point into whatever's next. And I don't know if that is going to be Nintendo considering it to be, you know, the next version of the hardware, or if they would do, you know, like the PS4 Pro or Xbox One X, where it doesn't have any exclusive games, but just runs their games much, much better.
Okay. How about this for hardware developments? You got your screen, you got your controllers that can snap on and off. You've got a little hood that you can lift up and down like a little bonnet.
Okay.
And if you lift the bonnet up, you can attach it to your face, VR console.
See, I think we're doing it. That would be, if Nintendo wants to push hybrid even further, it can be, you can play it on a TV, you can play it handheld, or you could play it right on your face and give yourself constant migraines.
There you go. It feels like there's been some tentative nudges in that direction by Nintendo. They had that whole thing where you can make a cardboard VR housing for your face.
It was very cute, but very dumb, I thought. Just incredibly dumb, but I thought very cute.
If you wanted to like expand into new spaces beyond handheld and room scale consoles, that's about the only direction, really, unless they wanted to go seriously into AR, that like the 3DS did.
They were like early adopters with the Virtual Boy, but that was obviously a massive bomb, and that was just a creator of migraines.
Probably more suited to mobiles, Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Go thing. Almost said Pokemon Snap there. That's not the same thing at all.
No. It is very confusing, though, that the Marvel game is called Marvel Snap and doesn't have anything to do with taking pictures of the Marvel people.
Is there a Pokemon Snap version of Pokemon Go? Feels like that would be a pretty natural fit, wouldn't it? Taking pictures with your phone?
I was kind of surprised because they released new Pokemon Snap last year, I believe, and it didn't have any... I don't think there was like any events or anything inside Pokemon Go. It just felt like it should have been an easy win.
Well, that feels like an open goal that anyone could go into. Just Pokemon Snap on your mobiles. Take pictures like it's real life taking pictures. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Yeah. Nintendo, listen to us.
Yeah.
Make these games that we want.
We've been writing about video games for a very long time. Obviously, we know everything there is to know about making them.
Yes, that's what... I was about to say that's why we've made some. You've actually made games though, so that's you have some credence. I don't have any. I don't know what I'm doing. But they just need the big takeaways for me is whatever the next Switch is needs to carry over my library. Like, for the love of God, please let me carry over my library.
You'll be lucky.
They need to figure out their online shit. What are we doing? Every time I buy a game on Switch, like there's a big Thanksgiving sale and I bought a bunch of games, and in the back of my head I'm like, is a new console going to come out next year and none of these games are going to be playable on this thing? And I don't like the fact that you are confident that they won't.
Well, I suppose they'd lose a lot of goodwill if they didn't give you a fair warning before they announced a new console that wasn't backwards compatibility. There's no real reason not to be backwards compatible these days.
No, like I don't know if there's tech, like I don't know what goes into making a console and the hardware infrastructure and all that stuff. I don't need to know that. I can just tell them that they should do it because that'd be nice.
I mean,
it's also like Nintendo has put themselves in a weird position where they are off the generational cycle of Xbox and PlayStation. You know, we got the new consoles 2 years ago in 2020. Like, they're just completely almost like, you know, toggling at the halfway point of it now.
I've always said they've kind of in their own little world when it comes to the console wars.
Yeah, I would say for better or for worse. And most of the times I would say for better, honestly, because we've talked about this in the past. Like, the fact that they don't chase trends is one of my favorite things about Nintendo.
There's never a sense that they need to be competing.
Yeah.
All right. So did we want to go to Super Chats, or did you have one last point to make?
No, I have a couple. I have a couple points, but I've already seen Super Chats come in that address it. So I feel like the pals in the chat will be able to direct the rest of the conversation.
Fair enough.
I have faith in you pals in the chat.
Okay, pals. Don't let Marty squander his faith or something.
No, please don't.
All right. starting, as usual, it seems, with Eric Cartman, who gives $5 and says, "Do you think they've boxed themselves in a corner? Nintendo usually leans on their portables when their home console is struggling, but now they can't." Ooh, that's true, isn't it? They can't diversify anymore.
Yeah, that is the interesting thing, because when like the GameCube was stumbling, we had the Game Boy Advance, and it was really exciting, and we were getting great third-party games and first-party games. And then when the Wii U was stumbling, we had the 3DS and the DS, which had a lot of great games as well. So
yeah, it's funny, I never thought of it that way. I mean, I was just thinking that the Switch was just an amalgamation of all the lessons from their previous platforms, but maybe it's also a too-many-eggs-in-one-basket situation.
Yeah, it could be by you know, embracing the hybrid model, like your successes are going to be doubled and your failures are going to be doubled, I guess. You know, and they lucked out, I guess, by having, you know, a really strong, you know, first foot forward with, like I said, in those first 6 months, we had Zelda, a new Mario, and Mario Kart. And they've had a pretty decent trickle of first party games, but yeah, I would say that the sort of the indie support is the thing that's really kind of kept it in the spotlight during any slow seasons.
Of course, the other problem with being in a world of their own is that without comparison, you're only either doing well or fucking up. No middle ground there. You're not still doing well compared to .. It's just you can only ever be up or down.
Yeah,
up with the Wii, down with the Wii U. Up with the Switch, down with miniskirts.
Yeah. Down with miniskirts?
Yeah. My mind wandered a little bit there.
Is Nintendo against miniskirts? Also, two people in the chat have called me a corporate shill. I don't get review codes from Nintendo. I don't get anything. I pay Nintendo money.
Although they did send me a free Switch, which is the one I still use.
I didn't get a free Switch. I had to pay for a Switch.
I had to send it off for repairs once, though.
Yeah.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Oh, is it because of the actual Switch itself or the Joy-Con?
The whole thing, I think. Mm. Dylan Cunts gives $9.99 and says, "Pokemon Scarlet and Violet having a lot of issues on launch that were caused by out-of-date hardware is certainly a sign that Nintendo desperately needs to get a new Switch out there ASAP."
Yeah,
I think that was that was the conversation we had last night. We were either going to complain about Pokemon or we were going to complain about the Switch. And I said, hey, why don't we...
Let's not complain about both.
Why don't we do both at once?
Yeah. See, but the thing is, I think a lot of Pokemon's problems are... And the frustrating thing about Scarlet and Violet is, with a lot of Pokemon games, is it feels like two steps forward, three steps back. Because there's so many interesting ideas in Scarlet and Violet. And I'm like... What if you took the time to make a game that felt actually polished and fresh, that could support these interesting ideas instead of being forced to release two games a year? I don't know. Pokemon. I'm wagging my finger at Pokemon. Not happy with you, Pokemon, the company.
Steamtastic Vagabond gives $6.99 CAD dollars and says, "The hardware can only get so much better. We should stop this arms race of ever-increasing graphics and just make the games work on what we have. Harumph." Steamtastic Vagabond, there are reasons for continually updating hardware besides making the graphics better. All technology is in a constant state of update. I mean, what's that statistic that says a hardware size doubles every few years?
What doubles every year?
I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's not just having good graphics. It's about being compatible with all the hardware everyone's using.
Yeah, and I'm not like... I don't want my Switch to be... I'm not like, I need 4K, 120 frames per second, and I need it to look as good on my OLED TV. Like, that's not what I want. And I mostly am like... I like Nintendo's general art direction and their focus on art direction forward. But in a thing like Mario Plus Rabbids, which is a good-looking game, the fact that every time I open up a map or a menu, and given that it's a tactical RPG, there's a lot of maps and menus, that there's a stutter and there's a load is frustrating. And more powerful hardware could fix that.
Will Cooling gives £2 and says, Switch is a toy for babies who don't notice graphics. Possibly in response to that last super chat.
Yeah. To be fair, all video games are toys for babies in my mind.
There's a lot of people who conflate toy for babies with fun for all the family. It's not quite the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, like a mobile is a toy for babies. Yeah. Like adults probably would not enjoy although a mobile seems nice, going around in circles and playing a nice little song.
Like Sesame Street is toys for babies. Marvel's Avengers is fun for all the family.
Yeah. Yeah. They should make what if they made it a Marvel's Avengers movies for babies, though?
They probably have done.
I'm sure they've done Avengers.
I was actually Googling this because I was writing up my Marvel Midnight Suns review today. There are Marvel-branded baby diapers in the world that you can have if you want.
Wouldn't you want diapers of something you don't like so that every time your kid shits in them?
Well, that was my thought.
Take that, Snyderverse. Also, if you wanted to make a political statement, what would you have on diapers filled with shit?
I'd say Donald Trump's face, but I suspect he'd be into that. Hey!
Topical! Remember a couple of years ago with those Russians?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still unresolved matter of the piss tape.
What a time to be alive.
And then Will Cooling gives another £1 and says, Dream Switch feature is being able to cast to my TV. Okay, I assume what you mean there, Will Cooling, is that you being able to simultaneously play on the handheld and the TV? That's just my guess, because of course you can play Switch games on your TV.
Yeah, but you just need to have it. I mean, is there would the Switch casting to your TV, does anything casting to your TV not have lag?
I don't know, I'm casting to my TV, if I'm honest.
That's why I don't either, and I just feel like having it docked in there kind of, that's just what it is. And it is funny, because I'm replaying Wind Waker HD now on the Wii U, which it is really funny, because the Wii U is a slow baby toy mess. But it is really funny, because you can see the genesis of all these ideas for the Switch on there, except
you're replaying Persona 5, you're replaying Wind Waker. Where do you find the time for all this replaying shit?
I have zero family.
Well, that's fair
and
enough.
I'm going to die alone. So, but who needs friends and family when you have the King of Red Lions, a talking boat, who will come to your funeral?
God, the other man's ass is always cleaner. God, I miss playing shit all the way to bedtime.
It is nice. I'm going to be honest, it is very nice.
I pretty much just play whatever I'm reviewing these days.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much your week, right? Your week is play the game in the week, and then the new game comes in the weekend.
Every now and again, you play something that is over in 6 hours, then you got 2 days to play whatever the hell you like, and those are my holidays.
And you take a week or two off for Christmas, right? So that'll be your... That'll be time for you, for Jesus, and for whatever game you want to play in your free time.
No, that'll be time for going to the in-laws' cabin and having the big old family Christmas affair all week.
Okay.
I guess I'll bring my Switch.
I'll be playing The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD on the Wii U.
Fuck you.
I make bad decisions. It's fine.
Dylan Kuntz gives $5 and says, does the fact that the Switch and its variants are practically the only handhelds at this time make it so that Nintendo doesn't have to care? Well, the Steam Deck might be changing that, Dylan Kuntz.
Yeah. Everyone I know who has a Steam Deck loves it as well. It's still the most affordable handheld, because I think Steam Deck is a couple hundred more, especially if you want the better one. But I just imagine that as it goes on, Steam Deck will become more and more profitable, or more affordable.
Oh, I forgot to mention Shin Megami Tensei Enjoyer is in the tip jar, member for 15 months.
Thank you, SMT Enjoyer. Thank you, SMT Enjoyer.
And then Leonard Soikerboik gives €10 and says, unrelated, but I finally played Before Your Eyes. The ending when it switches perspective between the mother and the ferryman was truly beautiful and heartbreaking, thanks for the tip yards. Yeah, it's a nice little emotional, heart-rending experience. It's not very long.
No.
It's not something you can really get absorbed in for weeks, but it's a fun, snacky little experience while it lasts.
Have we? I feel like we talked the other week about all the indie games and smaller games we've been playing this year that we really liked. It doesn't feel like there's been sort of that little casual, like, emotional game this year, unless I'm just completely glossing over it. In the same way we got, like, Unpacking and Spiritfarer and Before Your Eyes. Like, did we get anything like that this year? Like, we've gotten, again, good indie games, but not...
Well, nothing leaps to mind. Nothing I got really enthusiastic about. I guess Tunic was pretty emotional at times.
Yeah, but like the indies, I really like Tunic, Stray, I guess, could fit in that, but like Immortality, Neon White.
I'm on record that Stray's emotional impact was kind of lost on me because it's a fucking cat.
would it have been better if it was a dog? You would have liked it more if it was a dog.
Well, I'd say Scorn was pretty emotionally impactful, just not, you know, the kind of emotions you're talking about in those previous games you mentioned.
It was a lot of like cutting your hand off and big wiener statues everywhere.
Yeah, now you mentioned it, there was no real like big emotional hitter, unless you wanted to say Immortality was it.
Yeah, but that was more of like a upset, scary sad emotional game.
I kind of liked the emotional story timeline in Not for Broadcast.
That's on my list to try to catch up by the end of the year.
That's about all I got there. Maybe Endling, but that was that was sort of a bit over the top with its like sadness.
Yeah, I think that came out right around Stray and got lost in the sauce while Stray was getting all of its praise lifted on. Oh, a little to the left, Rory Johnson mentions, which Amy just reviewed. Which, have you heard about that one? A Little to the Left.
Nope.
It seems very much in the vein of Unpacking, but it's a series of sort of puzzles where you have to like rearrange items, kind of like you're almost cleaning a family's house by like rearranging the items a little bit because there's
a lot like Unpacking.
That's a lot like Unpacking, yeah. But there's also a cat who will occasionally come and disrupt your arranging based on like the developer's real cat. Yeah, just like a real shithead cat.
Well, anyway, Gildan Yetich gives $5, says Nintendo basks in developer support and exclusives for their walled garden, so afraid of jump ship to next gen. Along comes the Steam Deck. What now?
I wouldn't say
Gildan Yetich.
I also wouldn't say, maybe it was a haiku. It was way too many syllables to be a haiku, but maybe it was like something along the lines of a haiku. I also wouldn't say that they have a walled garden, because we keep talking about the indies that are you know, flourishing on Switch, and those are the developers that don't have the money to enter the walled garden. So I just think at this point Nintendo doesn't care about big third-party games coming to Switch. You know, Nintendo, I don't think, was too bummed that, you know, well, we got Dark Souls 1, but they've never put Dark Souls 2 or 3 on Switch. Yeah, like, I don't think Switch could run Dark Souls 3, but...
They don't seem to be angling for the new Call of Duty or anything.
No.
Well, fair enough. But as we say, you know, it's already a bit behind. Maybe you just physically can't run the newest Call of Duty.
Yeah, and you still have certain new games that come out that run on the cloud. Like Resident Evil 8 is on Switch, but it runs on the cloud, and I can't imagine any of that working well. Like, same thing, the new Hitman does that.
Right.
Real weird.
Meisterkleister Heist Air gives us €5 and says, got a Switch last month, my first console since PS3. I quite like it so far. It's handy. Only the cost of non-physical games and Nintendo Online bother me. Well, if you're bothered by the cost of non-physical games, you certainly are a bit behind Meisterkleister Heist Air. And I think that ship sailed when they first started doing digital distribution.
Yeah, and especially like, the first-party Nintendo games.
I would charge in $60. What? Oh, go on then. And then that was pretty much argument settled.
If, Meister Kleister, if you're interested in indies, I would recommend just adding a bunch of games to your Switch wish list and checking it every once in a while, because indies will often become, like, drop down to super cheap. Like, I've seen, like, I mean, older indies, but like Limbo and Inside and Hades and Transistor and stuff like that down to, like, just a few dollars, which is nice. It's nice to be able to spend $10 and get several games.
Sure. Fat Highlander 23 gives $2 and says Nintendo owes Marty money.
Yay!
Yeah, you big shill.
Just
talking about the positive qualities of consoles and all that.
I think if they just sent me games, I'd be fine. And then you can call me a shill, and then it'd be fine because I didn't have to pay for my games. I would love it if they send me money. Nintendo, if you want to send me money, I'm all at it. Please.
Is that how you think it works? Like you do give a positive review to something and then they should just give you DOSH? Because, you know, if that's the case elsewhere in the world, I've been missing out. Tell me where to sign up.
I thought you were, weren't you swimming in your Spirit Farer bucks last year?
I talk shit about everything, so when I praise something, it still has value, man.
That is true. That is true.
I could sell it to the highest bidder.
Also, let me sort of tangentially related to that. Let me say, a lot of people pleasantly surprised by how much during our post-CP of Sonic Frontiers, you seem to not hate Sonic Frontiers.
Well, it's like I said, if they made a good game, I would absolutely be overjoyed for them. And it seems like they were inching away at it there.
I agree.
Every now and again, they sort of lined up with it, but then it skewed into another angle again.
I'm happy because an interview over the weekend with Sega said that they are very much looking at Sonic Frontiers as the start of like the next chapter of Sonic. So who knows? Maybe a few years from now we'll reconvene for Sonic Frontiers 2 and we'll just have a great time.
Yeah, it'll just be a linear game but with more Big the Cat in it because, as usual, they will take completely the wrong lesson.
I think it's great.
Meisterkleist the Heist there comes back with €2 and says, make next Switch a handheld plus VR headset hybrid. I said that.
Meisterkleister! You thief. No, it seems... I'm curious if Nintendo is going to really, like, into AR or VR.
I think portability would be a very good step up for VR generally. If you could just have, like, a pair of glasses you could pull out of your pocket and slip it on your face on public transport and yodel to every other passenger that your wallet is ripe for the stealing.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Nintendo's also really good at creating like hardware and software that almost advertises itself. Like that's part of what the Wii and the Switch did by just like seeing the Wii in motion. It was advertising the Wii. You were like, oh, this is sword fighting and then bowling. And same thing with the Switch of being like, oh, you can take it on the go and then you can put it in its little dock.
I guess it's pretty hard to come up with tech that will strap to someone's head effectively.
I think
they need to make the consoles a bit lighter, I think, before they can sit comfortably in a pair of glasses.
Yeah, especially if you're expecting to play for any amount of time without neck strain. It's also hard because like VR feels almost like the opposite of the Nintendo thing I was just talking about, where seeing someone playing it is free advertising, because like VR kind of needs to be experienced to understood. Watching someone play it or watching a video doesn't have kind of the same impact as actually going face on with it.
Seeing someone playing VR in public certainly would be free advertising for stealing their wallet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, if you ever see anyone playing VR in public, it's actually legal to rob them.
Yes, because if they go to the police just hand them a little card with the words, "What the fuck did you expect?" written on it.
Wallets are full of them.
Phantom of the Night gives $5 and says, do you think the Steam Deck's success and potential for Switch emulation will have an impact on what Nintendo will do with their next system? Oh, I didn't know it had Switch emulation. That seems a bit redundant.
I don't think Switch emulation's like really caught on and like cracked through yet. I think it's very much a game by game basis, and like there was a big deal because I think Pokemon leaked, like the ROM leaked a few weeks before it came out, so like it ruined people. Like Pokemon fans get upset if you ruin the end game of those, which I don't. It just feels like it's just a large dragon Pokemon, and then you like fight your dad or something. I don't see emulation really having that much of an impact in the same way that, like, I don't know, you've been able to emulate Nintendo games forever, so I don't see that really impacting it too much. I think that's a very small percentage of people who are going to be doing that.
Dylan Kuntz gives $10 and says, I could see the Switch 2 allowing backwards compatibility, but also giving developers a hard deadline and saying from release day, all new games must be developed for Switch 2 and won't run on the Switch. It's possible, but why would you say no to free money? I mean, when you're in a sort of transitionary period between consoles, routinely developers will bring out a version for the old console and the new one because it's free money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a PS4 version of God of War Ragnarok still.
Yeah, PS4 version of Elden Ring had the last gen versions. Horizon had the last gen versions.
Almost makes you think PS5 isn't that much of an update because they're still bringing out PS4 versions for every new game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think just development during the pandemic. I think they just were kind of worried about where sales would be, so geared it towards both of them. And I watched a technical breakdown of God of War, and they were saying, you know, the game looks great on PS5 and whatever, but apparently it's like incredibly impressive how good it looks and runs on PS4 hardware.
Do they have to squeeze down the narrow caves a lot slower on the PS4?
Did you count how many times you had to squeeze down a crevasse?
Oh, God. Let's not talk about it because I make jokes about it in this week's Zero Punctuation.
A lot of crevasses. The crevasse fans, you're going to love God of War.
Where have you been, man? That's every game. Every AAA game has you squeezing down narrow caves a lot. And it's like they don't realize we've all realized that it's to cover up loading times.
I mean, I guess it's just like, are there like sleight of hand or magic tricks that everyone knows? It's like pulling a quarter from my ear. I know there wasn't a quarter behind my ear.
It's so obviously for loading these days. I figure they should just bring back loading screens. You might as well.
Yeah. Might just at least say, loading screens, you could put like fun facts and little tips on it.
Yeah, little tips, little map screen. Have fun with it. Omrao gives $1.99 and says, Marty said Persona. I put 160 hours to credits. THX.
Yay!
Obviously a fan of obscure George Lucas films.
1138? Hell yeah. Persona's great. I'm just going to be honest. Persona's great. Also, how come they haven't shown off the next Persona yet? What's going on? Atlas, show us what's going on.
Oh, this again. Mr. John Reyesha, member for 31 months in bonus content, uses their member chat to say, I would like if they brought back the Street Pass. It was always fun to collect different people's Miis. Weird thing to base the whole platform around, though.
Really weird, especially because like it was kind of a chunky thing. So like, I did carry it around with me. I remember getting a ton of them at like PAX and like E3 and stuff like that. The couple years it was big, and it would feed into certain games, and you'd get like Street Pass bucks for certain games. A very strange thing. It just feels like a thing that you like were that an online app, like an app that was on your phone. I feel like that would be like something pretty neat, but.
Wesley Thomas gives five CA dollars to say, best way to improve the Switch, an expansion set with a hard drive and a better video card in the dock. Looks sideways at Sega CD / 32X, looks back.
I mean, that is one, that's another thing they could do is keep relatively the same handheld thing, but then have the power come from the dock, which I wouldn't be a fan of because I like playing mine handheld mostly, but I feel like that would be, you know, if your dock is the thing giving it more power, then I feel like that could work. I also don't know. I don't know enough about the technical shit to actually talk about it.
Me neither. Hunter Roge gives $10 and says, I think the most sensible option would a Switch Plus, but you know Nintendo. I just worry about acquiring new hardware with the scalpers running a while. Also, I would 100% buy a Nintendo VR headset. Well, yes, I mean, they demonstrated their understanding of that area with the Virtual Boy very effectively.
Incredibly effectively. It is. I mean, Nintendo is not afraid to branch out into new things. Like they're, you know, you have the Nintendo theme park in Japan that's opening in the US next year. And then we got the Mario movie.
Kidding aside, though, I'm not sure they'd go into VR, because VR, as I've often said, is by nature a very solitary experience, and Nintendo's always wanted to emphasize the family fun aspect.
Yeah, and going into VR now would feel like it was following a trend, which, as we mentioned earlier, Nintendo is almost vehemently against. Or
they set the trends. Well, they set a trend. They set the motion controls trend. Everything else, they're just...
They probably would have been better off had they not done that.
Yeah. Gabe gives 5CHF and says, since Nintendo are the masters of gimmicky stuff, shouldn't they have another go at the VR thing? Oh, everyone's having the same thoughts today. Everyone's on the same wavelength.
Also, CHF, fun fact, Swiss franc.
Huh. That's a weird initialism. For the Swiss franc.
I agree. I was not expecting that.
I almost said acronym there, but of course it's only an acronym if you pronounce it like it's a word, like radar.
That is true.
If you just say all the letters like DVD, it's an initialism.
You should call it, what if people call it a chif, though? They might call it chifs.
Well, in that case, they would be employing it as an acronym.
Although, also true.
I said CHF, so I would say initialism.
You're being initialist.
Jesus Christ. I lost my place again.
That was Gabe. We're at Doran Grossman Naples.
Oh, yeah. Always nice to hear from the gross nipples. Oh, wait. Is Oliver Meat first?
Did I miss Oliver Meat?
On my thing, it says Oliver Meat was first.
Gross nipples and Oliver Meat.
Oliver Meat?
What a time to be... Yeah,
gives $5 to say, Yahtzee, a few streams ago you mentioned a local pasta place you liked. What was it? And any other takeout faves? I just moved to SF and need some go-tos. Well, I'm not in SF the city, I'm in the surrounding area. But the place I was talking about is a place called The Great Impasta.
Mm.
I don't know if they've got more than one place, but they let you mix and match pasta and sauce and filling, and it's quite nice.
If you're in San Francisco, my favorite pasta restaurant was Che Fico on Divisadero.
Mm-hmm.
Solid bar, great pasta. There you go. There's also the Stinking Rose in North Beach, which is a famous tourist spot, and everything is drenched in garlic. Huh. So if you want to smell like garlic, go to the Stinking Rose.
I only know it because it was referenced in a Preacher comic once.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
And then we get to Doran Gross Nipples, who gives $5 and says, you two like any webcomics? SMBC seems like a good fit for your sensibilities, Yahtzee. I was into webcomics when I was like first got online, because it was pretty much the only content you could absorb, because YouTube wasn't a thing yet. So I just read a lot of webcomics, read a lot of Penny Arcade, read a lot of Sluggy Freelance, when that was a thing.
Bloody Freelance.
Yeah. These days, there's a lot of, like, grandfather webcomics that are back from that really old tradition where everything was just really simply drawn newspaper comics or sprite comics. Mm-hmm. But these days, there's, like, a wave of actually competently drawn stuff that's actually got a lot of really interesting stuff.
Interesting. I never got into webcomics.
What have I liked recently? Kill 6 Billion Demons. That's a pretty good webcomic. It's a bit hard to find, but there was one I actually really liked called Cursed Princesses Club. It's probably not the sort of thing that you'd expect me to recommend, but I quite liked it. There's a lot. It's about princesses, and it's got a lot of anime tropes.
Yeah, I was not expecting those words to come out of your mouth.
I'm sure some more will spring to mind eventually.
That was a lot. I was not expecting that much of a... I didn't realize you're a webcomic aficionado.
Well, as I said, that was pretty much all... I spent a lot of time just killing time on the computer. And before YouTube, there wasn't much... weren't many places to go. Geldon Yetich gives $2 and says, does emulating Switch on Steam Deck worry them? We just had that question, Geldon Yetich.
When he asked that, I don't think you knew that.
Might have seen the super chat before
that is true
before he asked that.
I don't My gut is no. I don't think emulation's ever worried Nintendo too much before. I might be wrong, but no. Again, I think the percentage of people who are emulating Switch games is such a drop in the bucket compared to what the actual sales of their games and consoles are that they're probably not too worried.
Sinistar gives $10 and says, off topic, but I started a job in a newborn ICU, and I feel what Yahtzee talked about with babies being cuter when you have your own. They aren't mine, but I find them way cuter now than I did before. Yes, they aren't yours, Sinistar. Bear that in mind. Bear that in mind before you become a harrowing headline someday.
Do you think Sinistar is going to steal a baby?
It happens. It's happened surprisingly often with, like, nurses who work too long in, baby hospitals start getting the itch, you know?
But that's because they didn't have outlets to express that, such as donating Super Chats to us. So thank you very much, okay, Sinistar.
Well, I guess you'll be safe then, Sinistar.
Yeah, but if you steal a baby, if we hear a baby has been stolen, we're coming for you.
If you start feeling it, just stick googly eyes on a bag of flour. Yeah. That'll probably get you by. Zaratha gives $2 and say, I'm late, but here's some reels. Ray eyes. Okay. Will Cooling gives £2 and says, tailored version of Xbox Game Pass on Switch 2? Do you see Nintendo ever going for that?
Yeah, there's been, there's been talk of like Nintendo and Xbox having a pretty healthy working relationship, and they've allowed things like Banjo to be on in Smash Brothers, as well as like the Ori games, which were Nintendo or Xbox published games, were on Switch. It would be interesting. I feel like it would need to be a version of like maybe they would allow like the Xbox Cloud Game Pass, so it wouldn't be like I am downloading Halo on my Switch. It would be like I am opening up an app on my Switch that allows me to play Game Pass games on the cloud.
And then we all enter cyberspace and the evil future begins.
Yeah, just jack me in.
Jack me off. Hey! If we're, if we're placing orders. Scavenger gives $2 and says, how was your Thanksgivings? You a fan, Yahtzee? Well, I'm notoriously antisocial. I could do without the having to be stuck in a room full of loud people. Mm-hmm. But I do like filling my fat, stupid face.
What was your favorite dish this year?
Well, honestly, I'm not one for sweet potatoes. And turkey, I've always felt to be one of the blandest of the meats. Mm-hmm. The stuffing, though, I'm all over that.
Yeah, love stuffing.
And there was pumpkin biscuits. Pie.
Yummy biscuits.
And cookies. And a big plum pudding. And those were all good.
Oh, yeah, I like the sides are great. Yeah, turkey to me is pretty bland. But sides. The sides can get it.
Oh, you like sweet potatoes, I bet.
I surprisingly don't like sweet potatoes, especially like when they get over-sweetened and they get like marshmallows and brown sugar in there. You don't need that. You don't need that.
Who are these freaks who are forcing over these sweetened sweet potatoes on the rest of us?
Monsters. Genuine monsters.
I mean, I like a sweet dessert, but for my dinner plate, I want some like standard potato mash with lots of butter and salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. Hunter Roge gives $5 and says, honestly, Nintendo releasing a VR headset would give Meta a run for its money with the Quest 2. Yeah, I guess Quest 2's in a sort of a category of its own at the moment. Anyone else do a wireless VR headset?
I've never done the wireless VR. Okay. I imagine, again, though, like how we keep talking about that feels like the next step that needs... in order for VR to like hit full market saturation, it would need complete ease of use, including wireless.
All right, then. Patterned Pike, member for 5 months in early access, says, good 3D Sonic? Question mark. Highly vertical spectacle fighter.
Good 3D Sonic. Is this a haiku as well?
I don't know. I think he's just throwing out brainstorming ideas. I don't know. Verticality in 3D Sonic kind of throws me off because, as I said before, when you're in midair, it's hard to place where you are in relation to the things you're trying to land on.
Yeah. And the I feel like the combat in Sonic Frontiers had elements of spectacle fighting. Like, it didn't have the depth, but it had the spectacle. Yeah. Every time I had four buttons, I would suddenly an animation would play of me doing something neat.
Yeah. Well, it had cutscenes, didn't it? That's a kind of spectacle, I suppose.
Yeah, there you go.
Papa Howell, member for 27 months in early access, says, "Booby, that is all."
Incredible.
I mean, Persona's got spectacular attacks, but you wouldn't call that a spectacle fighter.
That's true. The all-out attacks, I would not say, are spectacle fightery. They're spectacular.
Sinistar, welcome to early access. I've always felt like the difference between spectacle fighter and that sort of thing is that my definition, which is the definitive definition, because I made it up. A spectacle fighter is a game where it's on the player to be as spectacular as possible, and the system rewards you for being spectacular.
Gotcha.
That was the Devil May Cry thing.
Yeah. Okay, I could see that. So, like, I think you said you didn't play this one back in the day, but Asura's Wrath was all spectacle, but it was pretty much just, like, really basic QTEs. So, like, you weren't, like, rewarded for doing well by the spectacle.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you were almost just doled out the spectacle.
You want a game where you feel good about yourself because you did a good job looking spectacular, and QuickTime events don't offer that.
Gotcha. Yeah, makes sense.
La 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 la. Patterned Pike gives $5. Says, have you heard about the guy who built a VR headset with an explosive charge in it that would kill you if you died in the game? Not for sale, sadly. That sounds more like an art project to me, Patterned Pike.
Well, and it was Palmer Luckey who built it. Like, the creator of Oculus, and who sold it to Facebook, and who...
Yeah, I feel like you don't even really make that as a joke.
Yeah. Everyone was picking it up like it was real, though. Go for it. Just if you want to play the kill-yourself VR thing.
Well, could you be assured that it would kill you instantly? Or would there be a chance of you just left horribly disfigured for the rest of your life?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. If you had to play one game and you were sure that you'd play it like this, but you wouldn't die, what game would you be sure of? What would you have the most confidence in going with the kill-yourself VR headset?
Boy, I wasn't prepared for this kind of question.
Yeah, I know. Neither was I. I didn't think this was going to come here.
Well, I guess it would have to be a game so good you'd never want to play any more games in your entire life, or indeed live.
No, but I was like, if someone was like, you, we'll give you $1 million if you can get through this game, but you have the VR kill yourself headset, so you need to get through without dying or failing. Is there any game you're confident enough in?
Any game I'm confident enough I could get through without dying.
In your own skills, yeah.
Well, the original Prey, because you don't die in that at all.
There you go.
I figured out the loophole in the system.
Yeah. Prince of Persia, the 2008. Every time you die, you just get pulled back up. That'd be nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Estius Guru 2000 gives €5 and says, I haven't had a Nintendo console since the SNES and the first Grey Game Boy. Well, thanks for sharing. Estius Guru 2000 doesn't really contribute to discussion, but I guess you just felt like we all needed to know that.
You should get a Switch, SVS Guru. That's going to be our next stretch goal, is to get SVS Guru a Switch.
He can set up his own fucking stretch goal. What are we, a charity? We got to spend all your money on fancy dinners in Wisconsin next year. Gavinger gives $5 and says, which company would you trust to invent the holodeck? Nintendo's won't have the safety protocols break and try to kill you, but fewer waifus.
That's true.
Well, leaving aside the many technical issues with the holodeck, I guess I would trust myself and nobody else to make the holodeck, because I would just kick the idea in the head and not bother, because it would be dumb.
Okay. I trust EA.
Okay.
Seems like they have a good head on their shoulders.
What the fuck kind of data would they be able to harvest on you if they got you in their holodeck? They'd, like, measure your weight as you walked across the floor, and then you get a load of ads for weight loss equipment.
See? EA's never done anything wrong. I dare you to tell me one thing EA's ever done wrong.
Oh, that's a topic for another time. Gabe gives another five chuffs. And says, fun fact, CHUF stands for Confederatio Helvetica Frank, which is how our country is initialized. Don't ask me why.
Helvetica.
That's a font. That's a font, isn't it?
It is. Is that a... Like, what is Helvetica, like a term for France or for Swiss? Oh, it's a Swiss typeface. So maybe Helvetica is like a term.
It's the Swiss term for Switzerland.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Fun fact.
Nickel Shark gives 500 yen and says, maybe Nintendo should try this gimmick, a console with modern amenities like an Ethernet port. You could never fit an Ethernet port on the Switch. Don't be silly, Nickel Shark.
Get out of here. You ask the impossible.
And then Sinistar comes back with $5 and says, I'll make sure to shill for the escapist at my trial if I ever do start stealing babies, Marty.
Thank you. Let us be your lawyers. I think we can get you off.
Yeah. I play a con man in D&D.
I thought you'd be a pretty good lawyer.
Yeah. I'll wrap them around my little finger.
No.
I was about to say, I'll wrap them around the palm of my hand, but then I thought, wait, I'm mixing my metaphors there. Spontaneous Sponge says, member for 20 months early access, says, Switch is 6 years old, we're due a new platform. Well, welcome to an hour and a half ago, Spontaneous Sponge. Thanks for joining.
I do agree.
Got there in the end.
I actually didn't know what we were going to talk about this week until I got to this comment, and then I went back in time and was like, we should talk about it.
You're like the Slowpoke meme, you are.
Oh, I think you're doing great, Spontaneous Sponge.
SV Scorer 2000 gives €5 and says, I'd get nothing but penis enhancement pill ads after using the EA holodeck. Well,
why are you pulling out your penis on the holodeck?
Oh, Marty. You're too innocent for this world.
Wait a minute. I think a lot of people would have sex with stuff in the holodeck?
A lot of people would ask, why wouldn't you take your penis out on the holodeck? Well, that's the end of Super Chat. So I guess that's that topic completely resolved. Glad to be of service, Internet. Okay, well, I was Yahtzee Croshaw, and that was Marty Sleaver over there.
Hello, it's me.
And what have we got coming up this week? Well, later today is our final episode of Pulsar Lost Colony with me and Marty and Jack.
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe we'll finally figure out what the point of it all is.
To be honest, we probably won't. Is there a point to that game? Is there like an ending? Do you think that game can roll credits?
Well, yeah, there's a like a overhanging mission, isn't there? You got to find the lost colony. It says so in the title.
Oh, that's literally, yeah, that is after, is Pulsar, and then it's Lost Colony. I just keep focusing on the Pulsar.
Pulsar, Lost Colony. what else we got coming up this week? Obviously, there's Zero Punctuation on Wednesday covering God of War Ragnarok. Come along with that.
Yes, that'll be a big one. That'll be a great one.
Probably be some contentious arguing in the comments of that one.
No, never. Later tonight,
because I had nothing but praise for this Sony exclusive game.
I'm sure. Unanimous praise. Later tonight, after Pulsar, will be Hidden Gems with Casey and Jesse playing Shadow Tactics again. Apparently, Casey liked it so much he wants to play it again.
Oh, okay.
We'll have 3 MRs of stuff like The Night Witch and Soccer Story. I've been playing Soccer Story and I really enjoy it. If you like Golf Story or Dodgeball Academia, it's like a nice, chill pixel art golf RPG. Or no, soccer RPG. Excuse me.
Well, so. I understand how soccer works.
There you go. Thank you, World Cup.
Because I grew up in Europe.
Oh, I thought it was because you have World Cup fever.
No. It's just growing up in Europe, you just sort of pick all this up from osmosis.
I imagine.
For example, I know when there's a big football match nearby to never leave the house.
See? There you go.
Because you might get murdered.
You don't want to get murdered. Don't get murdered. Fun fact, guys, don't get murdered. Yes, yeah, then all sorts of, we'll have all of our normal streams and
Punctuation dropping for everyone on YouTube Thursday.
And new adventures nigh for everyone or for members.
No. Just members. Just the cool kids.
Only the fancies.
On Saturday, the next thrilling installment that was left on such a good cliffhanger in the last episode, which you should see if you haven't seen, because it's on YouTube, available for everyone now. And I guess that'll be it from us. Sorry, Toffee. Time to wake up and earn your kibble. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. See you guys in a little over 2 hours.
Toffee Pants Dance. Toffee Pants Dance. Toffee Please dance, give a chance dance. To the Toffee Pants Dance. Bye then.
Bye, everyone.